Hey everyone, my name is Nick Brandt. I'm one of the senior leaders here at Circuit Riders. I want to welcome you to the Circuit Rider podcast. If you don't know us, we're a YWAM missional community based here in Huntington Beach, California. Our passion is Jesus, our mission field is our generation, and we believe our opportunity is now. I want to sincerely thank you for being a part of our broader community. Enjoy this podcast.
All right, ready to jump in tonight? I'm excited. I'm pumped to jump into this series. I want you to start off. I want you for a moment. I want you to think about your top 3 to 5 like favorite possessions that you have in your life. I'm going to give you a second. Just like top 3 to 5. 3, 4, 5. You can do 2. You can do 6. Just think about those things that you value the most, the things that matter the most to you. So you picture them in your mind. When you've got them in your mind, can you just raise your hand? I just want to see. Okay, some of you, can you just think about it? Don't overthink it. Okay, most of you got it. Okay. Now, I want you to think about, how do you treat those things? How do you treat your most prized possessions? I'm imagining, you know, you probably protect them, cherish them. You know, we put protective cases on our iPhone. Maybe it's like you got a photograph that really means a lot to you, right? You put it in that frame and you put it on the shelf, right? The truth is that we don't treat everything the same. There are certain things in our life that we have that we treat different than other things because we don't protect everything. We just really protect what we value. And we guard what we value. And I think we do this because we understand the value of what we possess. Like, if I just pulled a little piece of lint out of my pocket here, like, I'm not going to protect and guard that because it's of no value to me. Just going to toss it away. But, right, like, I put my money in the bank, right? Because I there's value to it. So my question tonight that I want to propose to us is, do we prioritize and protect our relationship with the Holy Spirit in the same way we prioritize and protect our possessions? Do we guard our relationship with the Spirit in the same way we protect the new iPhone? Are we as concerned about our connection with Him as we are about the Wi-Fi on my phone, right? Do we guard and protect Him in the same way or in a greater way? And I often wonder if at times we don't always honor Him or give Him the attention He deserves because we don't truly understand the magnitude of the gift that He is. I think if we had a real deal Bible revelation of who the Holy Spirit actually is, I think we would treat Him very differently. I think our attention towards Him would be radically different. And as I've kind of been preparing for tonight, see, the problem is that when you read the Bible and you start learning things, you become responsible for what you know. And so, like, as I began to prepare and study and read more, what I began to find out is that the crazy thing is that He's actually here. Amen. And I think sometimes it's so easy to get up here and to just talk about the Holy Spirit like He's out there somewhere. But it's a little bit of a different cadence when you recognize and realize, no, He's actually present. I'm not talking about some far-off thing that we just read about in the book and He's high in the sky somewhere and every once in a while He shows up. No, He's actually present in the room. And so it causes me to approach it a little bit differently. It puts a little bit more of kind of that holy fear on the inside to just not treat Him like an energy force or like a goosebump or like just like a good feeling. And so I'm excited for this series. I'm excited for us to jump in to this series titled Life in the Spirit. And my prayer is that we would exit this series with a renewed zeal for his presence, that we would leave in a greater alignment with the Holy Spirit's ways and activity, and that we would ultimately leave with a deeper appreciation for his presence in our life, that we would begin to value him the same way Jesus valued him. And I think, you know, we kind of have three options when it comes to the Spirit. We can neglect the Spirit, we can grieve the Spirit, or we can fan the Spirit into flame. Which of those three do you want to do? That's not a rhetorical question. I'm asking you, which of those three? Do you want to neglect him? Any takers? Who wants to grieve him? Anybody want to fan him into flame in your life and in our corporate gathering? Amen. So it's my conviction that as we begin to give the Spirit the honor and attention he's due, that we will simultaneously begin to experience the life-altering and world-changing power of the Holy Spirit. That as we begin to honor him and elevate him and give him the attention, his activity among us will increase. And we'll begin to see a greater dimension of his power as we gather together. I love how Jack Hayford would put it. He said, the Holy Spirit is the mighty river that's looking for a riverbed to flow through. Rivers move in the path of least resistance. I want to be a path of least resistance where the Holy Spirit doesn't have to navigate around my preferences. I don't want any resistance. I want a pure flow of the Holy Spirit in my life. And my prayer is that that alignment piece I talked about, that we would move out of this series in a greater alignment with the Spirit, so that when we gather together, there's a pure flow of his Spirit present among us. Are you ready for alignment? Amen. So regardless of kind of your background and all your background, your church background, I grew up in church. How many grew up going to church, you know, as a child? I grew up going to church, super grateful for my upbringing, but I didn't have the most robust understanding of who the Holy Spirit is. And so regardless, though, of your denominational background or your church background, the truth of the matter is that the Holy Spirit has been actively working in your life, whether you recognize it or not. He's actively present in your life. And so maybe you weren't brought up in an environment where he was talked about often, but if you're in the room and you're a born-again believer in Jesus, it was the Holy Spirit that made that happen. It wasn't you having a good idea one day. I should give my life to Christ. That sounds like a good idea. No, it was the Holy Spirit drawing you in, giving you revelation about who Jesus is and helping you see your need. And all of a sudden, you find yourself born again. It was the Holy Spirit at work in your life. And maybe you're in the room tonight and you're still kind of exploring what it looks like to follow Jesus. Maybe you haven't taken that full step to surrender. Well, the Holy Spirit is still active in your life. The Holy Spirit is actually the one who is leading you on that journey of exploration. It's the Holy Spirit that's kind of awakening something on the inside of you, that he's kind of pulling you in. He's putting people in your path. He's giving you these little breadcrumbs, and you're kind of finding your way till all of a sudden one day you're going to pick up that final breadcrumb. You're going to look up, and you're going to be face-to-face with Jesus. You're going to have an encounter with Jesus. You're going to get born again because the Spirit led you to a revelation of Jesus. That's what the Holy Spirit loves to do. The Holy Spirit loves to make a big deal about Jesus, loves to reveal what he's like. And so the Holy Spirit has been active in your life because, you see, we live in a world that has been structured and set in motion by the power of God's Spirit. In Genesis 1, we see that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. The Holy Spirit was active and present in creation, bringing order to the chaos. And in the same way that he was active in creation, bringing order to chaos. He's been hovering over your life, bringing order to your chaos. That's what he does. He's been hovering over our gatherings. He's been here. He's consistently moving and active in the earth. It was amazing last week after the service. I don't know if this guy's here, so if you're here, don't try to put you on blast. But Moda and I were talking to a young guy after the service last week, and he was communicating to us how he didn't want to believe in God, but yet he kind of felt like he didn't have a choice because God just was continuing to make himself known. And all of a sudden now he's kind of becoming intrigued by Jesus. So at one point he's like, I don't really want to believe in God, but now I'm like, I want to believe in this Jesus. Like, I've never met people like Christians who aren't like forcing, you know, their religion on me. They're just like, yeah, do what you want to do. Jesus loves you. And all of a sudden I'm like, well, now I really want to know about this Jesus. Like, you're kind of withholding him from me. So now I really want to know. He's like, so I've been on this journey. And then now it's like so strange. He was like, things I used to do, like I don't do them anymore. And like ways I used to behave and patterns in my life. He's like, what is happening? I'm like, that's the Holy Spirit. That's what happens. When you get born again, something actually takes place on the inside of you. And the Holy Spirit begins to change you and begins to change your appetites. And the Holy Spirit begins to teach you and show you. And all of a sudden, who you used to be is no longer who you are because you have been born again. Because the Bible says old things pass away and all things become new. You see, it's impossible to live this thing called Christianity without the Holy Spirit. I love this guy's response, right? This is like when God kind of reveals himself as Jehovah Sneaky. He kind of just sneaks in the door. We give him our weak and broken yes, and he's like, I see that weak yes, and boom, he's like in the door, and all of a sudden, he's just changing everything about us, and we're like, well, what happened? We gave a weak, broken yes, and the Holy Spirit rushed in and makes us brand new. But sometimes he's not sneaky. Sometimes the Holy Spirit's like you ever seen those like those SWAT movies where like the guys show up at the door and they got that massive battering ram and they're just boom, they're knocking the door down. No, like they're not knocking, they're not asking, can we come in? They are coming in, they're on a mission, I'm getting in the house. Sometimes that's how the Holy Spirit is with us. He just got that battering ram and he just boom, he just comes into our life and we're like, wait a minute, how can you do this? He's God. He can do whatever he wants. The Holy Spirit is God. For nearly 1,700 years, Christians have been confessing this, that we believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life. He proceeds from the Father and the Son, and with the Father and the Son is worshiped and glorified. He's not a lesser member of the Trinity. The Holy Spirit is as much God as the Father is and as the Son is. It's easier for us, I think, at times to, like, we have a reference point for the Father, right? Like, we all have, like, we either have a dad or we have a father figure in our life. We have a reference point for the Son. You're either a son or maybe you have a brother and, you know, he's a son. Like, well, there's a natural reference to that. But when it comes to the Holy Spirit, it's a little bit harder at times to have a reference point because the Bible gives these descriptors, like, he's like wind. He's like fire. He's like water. He's like oil. He's like a dove. And so we see throughout the scriptures that the Spirit moves in a variety of different ways, and there's often this level of mystery around it because he is a spirit. But there's one thing that you can be absolutely certain of. And I want you to hear me on this. You can be certain of this, is that the Holy Spirit will never move in contradiction to the scriptures. He will never move in contradiction to the scriptures because he is the author of the scriptures. I love what R.T. Kendall says. He says, the Bible is the Holy Spirit's greatest product. He says, you will have the Holy Spirit's anointing to the degree that you honor what the Holy Spirit wrote. So as we grow in our understanding of what the scriptures teach about the Spirit, I believe, and I've had this happen, that our experiences of the Spirit begin to grow. When you do a kind of a survey throughout the Bible, and if you look throughout church history, we find that when God moves by his Spirit, supernatural things start to take place. Kind of crazy things start to, weird things happen, right? There's these things, maybe like travail happens, that there's tears or maybe extreme joy, or sometimes people like fall down. Words of knowledge start happening. Supernatural boldness comes upon people. Miracles start happening. Sometimes people shake under the presence of God. Sometimes there's supernatural peace that floods your body. Sometimes there's spontaneous songs and worship, or unexplainable hope or ecstatic joy. All of those can be manifestations of the Holy Spirit. All those things can happen. But at the same time, if none of those things are happening, that does not mean that the Spirit is not at work. And I love what Craig Keener talks about. He's a brilliant theologian. He talks about how, I'm just going to read you the quote because I want to get his words right here. He says, if we must feel God's presence before we believe he is with us, we reduce God to our ability to grasp him, making him an idol instead of acknowledging him as God. He says, I find that I often do feel a sense of God's majesty and love and character now, but usually, he says, I'm not usually seeking them. He said, but this is the key. I'm not using it to gauge my relationship with him. He says, back when I waited for a feeling before believing God was present, I often felt frustrated. Feelings should follow faith. God himself, rather than feelings, should be the object of our seeking. And I love that, because what we don't want to do is, I don't want to present to you this case of all these dramatic, crazy things that can happen when the Holy Spirit takes over your life, and then all of a sudden you begin to gauge your relationship with him and thinking, well, God never moves on me like that. There's something must be wrong with me. Yeah. You see, here's the deal. God is the chef. He's the master chef. He makes the meal, and then he's the server. So he brings the meal, and our job is just to sit there and eat whatever he delivers. If it's tears one day, awesome. If it's joy one day, amazing. If it's peace the next day, I want more. If it's I'm shaking and rolling on the ground under the presence of God, amazing. I want to feast on that. If it's just silence, that's okay. Whatever meal he serves, I want to eat it. I kind of gave up my preference saying, God, however you want to move. I could have come tonight and had so much stress, thinking, God, if it doesn't look a certain way in the room, then man, we missed it. No, I just have to deliver in the best of my obedience what I believe God put on my heart, and he does the rest. He does the rest. He's going to choose to move on your life how he wants to move on your life. He knows what you need in the moments that you need it. So apart from what we feel, this is what's true, whether I'm on the mountaintop or whether I am in the valley, regardless of my season or situation, the gospel truth is this: I'm not alone in any of it. You are not alone in any season of your life. Mountaintop, valley, in between, on the switchbacks, going up the mountain, fatigued, you are not alone. Whatever challenges you're facing, the gift is that whenever you are facing challenges and maybe sin habits or patterns in your life, you're not facing those mountains alone. You've been given an extraordinary gift called the Holy Spirit. If you're a born-again follower of Jesus, the Spirit of God has taken up permanent residence in you. Permanent. It's not like if you make a mistake today, all of a sudden, whoop, he's gone. Then you do good long enough, he's like, now he's back. Then you mess up again, you got angry, where'd he go? No, permanent residence in your life. Paul writes to the church in Corinth, do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit within you? You see, the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, is the X factor in this thing called Christianity. You can't follow Jesus without him. It's not possible. You can't be a Christian without the Holy Spirit. He's the X factor. He takes us by the hand. He leads us. He guides us. He forms us. He empowers us to actually live out the life we're called to live. That's why Paul could say, it's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. It's almost as though he was saying, hey, the Spirit of Jesus is living out the life of Jesus through me. It's almost as if he's saying the Spirit of God is living out my Christianity for me. That's crazy. Now, yeah, there's a part we play and we're obedient, of course, all that. But the premise is that grace is so crazy that when we would be this broken, sin-filled, corrupt humanity, God would say, no, I'm going to do. I'm going to put my very life-giving Spirit inside of them. I'm going to give them the greatest gift known to mankind, myself. And I'm going to put my life in them so that they can live the life they were made to live. And Jesus is our model for this. He showed us what it looks like to be fully human and fully surrendered to the Holy Spirit. Jesus was God. Amen? Jesus is God presently. Amen. Jesus was man, and Jesus is man. Presently, he is still the God-man. He still has a body, still has scars, still has wounds. He is still the God-man, and he showed us what it looked like to be fully human and fully surrendered. I want to kind of take you through a journey here to show you the role of the Holy Spirit in the life of Jesus. The prophets declare that the Spirit would rest upon him in Isaiah 11. We see that before he was even born in Matthew 1, that his life was actually conceived by the Holy Spirit, right? The angel shows up to Mary, you're going to be overshadowed by the Holy Spirit. Before he ever preached a sermon, Luke 1, the Spirit was already moving around him and affirming who he was. He was in his mama's womb, and his cousin was in another one. And when he showed up, the Holy Spirit filled his cousin, leaped in the womb. The Spirit's activity was present before he ever preached a sermon. At his baptism, the Spirit descended on him and remained on him, Matthew 3. Before he ever stepped into ministry, Matthew 4 and Luke 4, he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. And as he walked through that testing in the wilderness, the Bible said he was full of the Spirit. So he was led by the Spirit, he was full of the Spirit, and then when he came out of the testing, it says he returned in the power of the Spirit. When he defined his mission, Luke 4:18, he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And when he ministered to people, Acts 10:38, he was anointed by the Spirit. The Bible says God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power. And he would heal, deliver, and set people free. You see, from beginning to end, Jesus lived his life in full dependence on the Holy Spirit. And so it's in this context, in this framework, this is where we begin to see the magnitude of the gift that we've been given, because the same Spirit that rested on him, the same Spirit, here, come on, listen to me on this, the same Spirit that led Jesus into the wilderness, the same Spirit that filled Jesus, the same Spirit that baptized him in the Jordan, came upon him like a dove, the same Spirit that was upon him when he read the scroll of Isaiah and said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. That very same Holy Spirit that raised him from the dead now lives inside of you and me. It's not a fairy tale. It's real life. It's as real as it could possibly be. That you sitting there right now, if you've put your trust in Christ, you have become the house for God. You house God in your body. That's mind-blowing. Don't you think if we walked around with that awareness, the activity we would give ourselves over to would be a little different? The way we talk to each other would change. If we looked at each other and said, dang, you got God inside of you. Holy Spirit lives inside of you. I'm going to think twice before I speak negatively of you. I don't want to beat down God's house. We would live different. We would think different because that same Spirit lives inside of us. And so that's the magnitude of this gift. That's why Jesus told the disciples, he says, listen, I'm headed out. They're freaking out. What? Where are you going? He says, listen, it's actually to your advantage that I go. It's you're going to be better off if I'm not here. Could you imagine that if Jesus was here in the flesh? He'd been rolling with us for 3 years. We've been rolling with him day in, day out, watching him do all the stuff, multiplying food, healing the sick, raising the dead, casting out demons, teaching like no one else. And all of a sudden he's like, hey, I got to go. I'm not going to be here. So you guys are going to keep rolling forward without me. I can imagine we would all panic. You can't leave. This thing's about you. But then he says, no. It's to your advantage. It's better if I go. Because if I don't go, he won't come. But if I leave, the promise of the Father will come to you. I'm going to give you my Spirit. You know about him. He's been with you, the Bible says, but then he will be in you. That's why Jesus said, listen, once I die, before I go back to the Father, I'm going to be raised from the dead. Once I go back to the Father, don't just go about business as usual. Don't be so quick to just get out there. You got to wait. You got to wait for the promise. I want you to get together. I want you to go to that upper room. And there's going to be a moment when the promise of my Father is going to come upon you. And then you will be my witnesses to the ends of the earth. But don't leave without him. And we just go about our day making decisions all day long, never once ask him, Holy Spirit, is this a good idea? I'm not talking about what color shirt should I wear. You get a little overly religious with it. But I'm talking about how haphazardly we just live our life independent. Just saying, yeah, that sounds like a good idea. I'll go do this. Maybe I'll go over here. Jesus was like, don't go forward without him. You can't live this thing called Christianity without the Holy Spirit. Now, this is where I think we can get misunderstood a little bit, is that we think that, okay, well, Jesus must have known every single right thing to do. Well, he's God, yeah. And so we think about when we're full of the Spirit, if I'm filled with the Holy Spirit and I'm living an active life in the Spirit, then I'm going to know every single detail and I'm going to live a perfect life and I'm always going to know exactly what to do and every step's going to be obvious and every direction is going to be certain. But you see, that's not actually what we see in Scripture. And I was brought, as I was preparing and praying for tonight, I was brought to the story in Acts 16 about Paul when Paul's on his second missionary journey. So Paul, right, you guys know the story about Paul. He has this crazy encounter. He encounters the glory of God. He was so zealous for the law. He encounters Jesus. Now his zeal is redirected towards Jesus. He gets filled with the Holy Spirit. And now, like, the church persecutor is now the church planter. And God gives him this crazy mandate. He says, hey, I'm going to tell you how much you're going to suffer for me, but you're going to be a light to the Gentiles. You're going to take the gospel to the ends of the earth. So now Paul has this crazy encounter and now this crazy calling. And now he's living in his calling and he's on his second missionary journey and he's out there and he's just trying his best to follow Jesus and to do and to live out his calling. How many of you have ever just felt like you're trying to live out your calling but you're not totally sure what next step to take? Anybody? Only a few of you. Everyone else in this room is certain of your next step. That's amazing. Well, for the rest of us, right, we've had these moments where it's like, I'm just trying my best, right? I don't have crystal clear clarity. When I look at Paul, I'm actually really encouraged because we see that Paul, who was like the Apostle Paul, the dude wrote Romans. Have you ever read Romans? Like, dude's a theological beast. He knows God. How many of us, hopefully every hand can be raised, would say, Paul knows God? Yeah, Paul knew God. And this man, this great apostle, is out on his missionary journey, and it's like he shows up to this one place, and he says, but the Holy Spirit would just forbid me to speak here. And so I head this way, and I'm going to go over here, and then all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit wouldn't let me go in there. And so we have this picture of this Spirit-led life where it's like Paul's kind of something, I feel like he's maybe searching in the dark. He's like, no, there's the wall here. Nope, that's a wall. That's not a door. And he's doing his best until finally he's just being obedient to the best that he can. Holy Spirit forbids him here, doesn't let him go there. So he's obedient to that direction and the redirection. And then all of a sudden, boom, he has an encounter and he has a vision. And I just kind of want to prophesy to some of you tonight that you are one closed door away from the right door. You didn't catch that. You are one closed door away from the right door. Just start walking. Just start moving. The Holy Spirit loves to lead people who are moving. He loves to lead people who just want to risk their life on obedience. And you're like, I don't know. I feel like I have this calling. I feel the Holy Spirit stirring something inside of me. I don't know the next step, so I'm just going to start moving. I'm going to go knock on that door. Nope, wrong door. I'm going to go knock on this door. Nope, wrong door. All of a sudden, boom, head-on collision with clarity because you're being led by the Spirit. You see, the Holy Spirit is not just one moment or a goosebump. He's a relationship that we live in. And it's just as Paul's going, wrong door. But it's the Holy Spirit course correcting his life, leading him to his destiny. Paul just never stopped moving. He didn't shut down. He didn't quit. You're not always going to have perfect clarity before you obey. You're not always going to have the full confirmation or certainty or zero risk, right? That's not the pattern of Scripture. It's not clarity, then obedience. It's typically obedience and then clarity. The Spirit loves to lead people who are moving, and he speaks to people whose ears are open to listen, and he directs people who are willing to obey, even when they don't have the full picture. I think the Holy Spirit loves it when we take a step of risk, not knowing what is on the other side of that risk. He's like, oh, they trust me. This is called relationship. This is called faith. If they knew the outcome, faith wouldn't be necessary. But they don't see the outcome. Oh, but they trust I'm with them. Therefore, they're willing to take a risk. They're going to be like the apostle. They're just going to go here. They're going to go there, and they're going to trust my guidance in their life. You see, I may not have the full picture, but I've got the best guide, the Holy Spirit. He's not a moment. He's the one who leads you, guides you, redirects you, and walks with you in real time and in real life. He's so much more than just this moment in a worship set. Now, he's present in that. I'm not degrading that. We love that. He loves that. We talked about that last week, right? God inhabits the praises of his people. The Holy Spirit loves that activity. But sometimes I feel like we just come in and we, like, I want to worship so I feel him. And that's not totally wrong, but there's so much more. That you don't have to just be in the corporate gathering. When you wake up, he's there. When you go to bed, he's there. I'll just be honest with you. I had a moment the other night. I woke up in the middle of the night, and you ever have these moments where you wake up in the middle of the night and you just, like, your mind starts reeling. You're like, this is not good. Usually I'm thinking about taxes. I'm thinking about finances, right? It's just like the worst thing to think about at 2 a.m. Don't think about taxes. Don't think about taxes, right? And so, but the other night I woke up, And I was just kind of thinking about some different things in my life. And all of a sudden, as I'm awake, I out loud say, I'm afraid. And it kind of caught me off guard. And I felt immediately when I said that, the Holy Spirit said, well, I'm with you. And it was like all of a sudden, the fear just kind of dissipated. The situations, the circumstances, the decisions I got to make, all those things are still present. They're there. But it was that the Holy Spirit's like, hey, you're not alone. I'm with you. You don't have to be, like, it's okay that you're afraid, but you don't have to let fear dominate you in these decisions. Haven't I led you so well this far? Have I not been present with you? Didn't I lead you through those mountains in your past? Didn't I help you overcome this and overcome that? Didn't I give this to you? Didn't I help you see these different things? Haven't I closed the wrong doors and opened the right doors? And I was like, oh, fell right back asleep. Because I wasn't alone. See, he's much more than a moment. He is, as Acts calls him, he is the very spirit of Jesus. He's the down payment of what's to come. The Bible says in Ephesians that the Holy Spirit is the guarantee, the down payment of what is to come, meaning that he's the evidence of the future brought into the present. It's the life of the age to come brought into the here and now, shoved into your life and my life, the guarantee, the down payment, that when people encounter you, they should be like, wow, you're otherworldly. And you should say, yeah, I carry the future in my body. There's a piece of eternity that I've been born again into, and it's a taste of what's available to you, right? We're supposed to be a prophetic people, a signpost of the age to come. That's why everywhere Jesus went when he healed the sick, it was the age to come breaking into now, healing. Oh, when he delivered demons, it was the future kingdom breaking in now, the Holy Spirit delivering people, setting people free. They were getting a taste of what was to come. You see, the thing you carry, the person of the Holy Spirit, is a down payment of what will eventually come when Jesus brings the fullness of his kingdom. It says you have the first fruits of the Spirit, Romans 8:23. It's real, but it's not the fullness. We live in that tension, the present experience awaiting the future fulfillment. So he's the down payment, he's the first fruits, and he's the seal. The Bible says you've been sealed with the Holy Spirit. That means you've been marked, claimed by God. Every day, you should look in the mirror and say, I have his seal upon me. God has put his claim on my life. I don't belong to another. That's the sealing of the Spirit in your life. It signifies ownership and protection. Your Father owns you, protects you, guards you, seals you. Put his claim on your life. And you're meant to be kind of that movie trailer that everyone watches and said, I've got to go see that movie. Your life should be a movie trailer of the age to come. You should live so otherworldly. We should live so otherworldly together. Our community dynamic together should shock the world. How do you live in such unity when you're so different? It's called the Holy Spirit. He gives us the bond of peace and unity. It's him. He does it. And we become a sign to the world. You've been saved by the Spirit. You're sanctified by the Spirit. Your joy comes from the Spirit. Revelation comes through the Spirit. The gospel is preached with the power of the Spirit. By the Spirit, you can prophesy. You can pray. You're strengthened. You serve. You love by the Spirit. You put sin to death. You walk in freedom. And you become who God has called you to become. And you can do none of those things without him. But you can do all of them with him if you'll surrender. If you'll yield, he's your source of power. He's power for hope. Come on, how many of you need hope in your life? It's the Holy Spirit who gives you hope. He's power for miracles. He's power for prayer. He's power for praise. He's power for preaching. Come on, the Holy Spirit. We talked about it, right? He's like the fire. He's that purifying force in your life, making you look more like Jesus. He's the wind. He's filling you and moving you forward. He's like water, refreshing and renewing you. He's like oil. He's anointing you and empowering you. You see, the Holy Spirit is not an accessory to your life. He is the source of life. Well, if you don't get anything else out of the message tonight, don't treat the Holy Spirit like an add-on to your life. He can't be plan B. But we just whiteboard all these good ideas and it's like, well, maybe I should ask the Holy Spirit. No, he should be the first one we go to. Let him inform your whiteboard session. Let him inform how you make decisions. Let him inform how you make friendships. Let him inform how you apply for the job. Let him inform how you spend your money. Let him inform how you spend your time, what you watch, what you listen to. Don't you think he cares? Oh, he cares so much. Because he wants your life to flourish. He wants you to be a path of least resistance. Out of your innermost being will flow rivers of living water. He wants to flow out of you and touch your generation. He wants to touch your family, your neighbors, your workplace. The Holy Spirit is longing to flow through believers. The greatest outpouring of the Spirit will come through the church. Because this is where he resides. This is where he lives. In 1 Corinthians, it's individual that we are the temple, but it's also plural, meaning together we're the temple. That not only individually, but corporately, we've become the temple. So I want to encourage you tonight. I want to charge you tonight. Do you value and treasure the Holy Spirit the same way you value and treasure possessions? Do you guard your life with him in the same way you guard your bank account? Do you guard your relationship with the Holy Spirit in the same way you protect and guard your reputation? I feel convicted. As I was preparing, I'm not preaching at you, I'm involved in this. And I can honestly say it to you, I don't know that I do, but I want to. Oh, I want to. If I could be just gut level honest with you, like my deepest, deepest desire, if I could give my life to anything, it would be to build and facilitate a place where the Holy Spirit feels at home, where people could walk through doors and encounter his presence. I would give my life for that. I want to see my kids raised up in an environment where the Holy Spirit is active and present. What else would I want to give my life for? What else would I want to lay my life down? Where else would I want to raise my kids? I want to raise them in an environment where there's hunger for the presence of God. We may not be perfect, but that's why there's grace. And he keeps redirecting us and reestablishing us because that's what his presence does. My prayer for these Monday nights as we continue to gather, specifically over these next 4 weeks, but far beyond, that we would come in with this renewed hunger. God, come meet us. God, come meet us here. Make yourself at home here. We want you here. You're welcome here. Come be among us. The band can come back up. I want to share a story. It was probably, I don't know, 6 months ago. No, almost a year ago. Probably a year ago. My aunt sent me a text message. She sent me a text message of these two journal entries, ripped out pages. And then I was like, that handwriting looks familiar. And it was mine. It was a letter that I wrote my aunt and uncle. It was when I was in this program called Teen Challenge. And all I could do was write letters. So I had a 4-minute phone call once a week, and I could write letters. So there you go. I was writing letters, and I like I said, I kind of grew up in an environment where I didn't know much about the Holy Spirit. I knew he was real. I didn't think anything bad about him. I just didn't know much about him. And right, some of my stories, I got caught up in addiction. Long story short, I end up at this place called Teen Challenge, and it's a Pentecostal drug rehab. And so I show up there, and it's crazy. It's exactly how it sounds, like what you think in your mind, Pentecostal drug rehab. Yeah, that's it. I don't know what image is in your mind, but yes, that's it. And so I'm there, and it's like every day, every single morning, they're preaching on the power of the Holy Spirit. Every single morning, and I'm like withdrawing, I'm sick, I got long hair, I don't want to be there. It's a whole mess. But as I'm there, I've tried everything else, haven't got free, haven't got clean. So I'm there and I'm in this environment, like I'm going to give it a shot. And I knew I had this aunt and uncle who live in the Central Coast of California, and I knew they were charismatic. And so I started writing them letters. And I wrote them letters, and I'm asking them questions. And my aunt writes me back a letter, and she begins to tell me some Bible verses. And she's like, you should just go outside and start praying these verses. I don't have anything else to do, so I would go outside and pray. And what happens is after I started doing that, it's kind of dangerous when you start asking the Holy Spirit to reveal himself to you. I just want you to know it's a dangerous prayer because he'll answer it. So I didn't really know what I was praying, but I was praying the Bible and I'm walking, and then all of a sudden one Friday morning, Pastor McLean gets up on stage, we're praying, and he kind of has this moment. He's like, there's someone in here who needs to receive the Holy Ghost. And I know it's me, but I'm not going to get up. I'm like over here. I'm in my quiet time at the altar, like, it's me, but I'm not going. And because I don't know what's going to happen. And I like being in control. We like being in control, but part of being filled with the Holy Spirit is giving up control. It's surrender. Good friend comes, taps me on the shoulder. Hey, it's you. We want to pray for you. So I get up. They pray for me. And yeah, praise God for good friends. Be careful tonight. One of your friends may drag you down here. So he pulls me over, and they start praying for me. And I don't know how else to describe it. Is it felt like I had all this darkness inside of me, and it was like light came and just flushed it out. I don't know how else to explain, and I just remember I was standing there, I was like shaking, but I was so happy, and I was just so filled. It was like all the stuff I learned about growing up through the scriptures were all of a sudden coming real. It was like colors were different, lights were different, everything was vibrant, and I felt like for the first time, true life. And it marked me, and so my aunt, about a year ago, sends me the letter I wrote to her a few weeks after that happened. And it was just fascinating to read and put myself back in that moment where I'm writing to her and I'm like, this is the most crazy thing. My words were, it felt like God pulled me over. And I said, I'd never felt anything like that in my life, and my body was shaking. I was crying, but I was so happy. And I said, I've had peace these last few days and weeks like I've never experienced before. And I was so hungry for more of the Holy Spirit. I could, like, through the writing, I remember after I got touched that way by God, everything shifted. I became so desperate for the Holy Spirit, because when you've tried everything the world has to offer and then you actually taste and see of his goodness, I'm telling you, how could you ever go to something different? And I tasted the power of the Holy Spirit. And I was facing a mountain. I tried to commit suicide. I did not know how my life was going to get over this mountain until I encountered this dynamic power called the person of the Holy Spirit. And he crumbled the mountain in a moment. In a moment. I'm not saying it wasn't a tough journey, but he did something so profound in that moment that I've never been the same. And I was rereading that letter this week, and I was feeling this sweet sense of conviction where God's saying, do you crave my presence like you did then? Do you long for a touch of my spirit the same measure that you did as a busted and broken 22-year-old? Where's your hunger gone? Where's your craving gone? What happened when you used to skip a meal and just pray? What happened to just those super, super early mornings? She was like, I just want to get up and be with you. I didn't feel condemned. I felt invited by the Father, because the Father's saying, I want to touch your life again. I don't know where you're at on your journey, but I can say this. Over the last 16 years of following Jesus, I have become convinced of the dynamic power of his presence, and that there's no mountain he cannot move. There's no wall he can't scale. There's no situation outside the possibility for redemption. There's no amount of grief he can't comfort you in. There's no temptation that he can't get you out of. There's no sin habit he can't break in your life. He can open the right doors to get you in the right room, and he can close the wrong ones to get you out of the ones you don't need to be in. He has descended on entire communities, cities, regions, and nations. Why not here and why not now? Why not here And why not now? He's done it before. Can't he do it again? He's changed the storylines of nations. Surely he can change the narrative of your life. Surely your story is not too far gone for the power of the Holy Spirit. You may feel alone in this season, but I want to encourage you with the red letters of Jesus tonight. Can you stand as I read them over you? Jesus said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. He goes on to say, don't let your hearts be troubled. He says, I'm gonna ask the Father and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him. So Jesus talking to the disciples says, he dwells with you, but he will be in you. He says, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. And he did so on the day of Pentecost when he ascended to the right hand of the Father. He sent forth the promise of the Father, the gift of the Holy Spirit. And I want to tell you, this thing called the church started with the sound of a violent, mighty, rushing wind. Do you think the early disciples and apostles were curious, is God going to show up when we gather? I think they were convinced. I think they left that upper room saying, you mean this is what's going to happen every time we get together? Every time we go out and we laid hands and they go out to the Gentiles and they lay hands on them, and guess what? It happens to them. Wasn't just the Jews, it was Gentiles now, it was the whole world. Everywhere they went, this Holy Spirit would attend them. And they would lay hands on the sick and they would recover. They would lay hands on people and they would be filled with the Holy Spirit. Everywhere they went, they got in prison, they would sing and the Holy Spirit would open prison doors. No, I don't think they were ever wondering, is he going to show up? This thing started with a violent, mighty, rushing wind. And I believe God wants to fill the church again with the sound of a violent, mighty, rushing wind. He wants the fire to return to the church. He wants the flame of the Holy Spirit burning in our churches, in our cities, in our communities, in our regions. And he wants to do it here on Monday nights. He's already been doing it. He's already active, but I believe there's more. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, we invite your presence. We love your presence, Holy Spirit. We love your presence. We fix our attention on you tonight. Great Holy Spirit. Would you move across this room on hungry hearts? Holy Spirit, breathe your life. We're asking for your wind. We're asking for your oil. We're asking for the water. We're asking for the fire. We're asking for you, Holy Spirit. If you feel the Holy Spirit moving on you tonight, if you feel something stirring on the inside, if you feel and beckoning you, calling you, inviting you. I just want to say the altar's open. We have teams here. They're going to pray for you. If you want prayer, you can just come kneel. You can come forward and worship. But I want to encourage you. If you feel the Spirit of God upon you. Take the step, come forward. Acknowledge His presence. Acknowledge what He's doing. We want to partner with you tonight. We want to partner with what the Holy Spirit is actively doing in your life. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We welcome your presence. Spirit of Jesus. Spirit of Jesus. Our eyes are fixed on you. Every troubled heart in this room, I pray, Holy Spirit, you would reveal your nearness. You would calm every storm. You would alleviate every fear. You would begin to alleviate anxiety and worry. Everyone who's felt alone, Holy Spirit, we're asking for your presence, the witness of your Spirit. Those are coming forward, those of you still in your pew, if you can raise your hands and begin to invite the movement of the Holy Spirit. Tell the Holy Spirit in your own words your longing for His presence in your life. Ask Him for a greater awareness of His nearness. Ask Him for a greater revelation of Jesus. Some of you may begin to feel the tears welling up. Surrender to it. Some of you may begin to feel the joy. Surrender to it. Some of you may begin to feel heat on your body. Surrender to it. Let the Spirit do what He wants to do in you. tonight when I shared the story, when I was at the altar and I knew it was, God was calling my name, but I couldn't do it. If you know tonight, if you know that's you, you're like, I know my heart's beating. I know there's something he wants to do, but it's hard for you to just step out and come forward. I want to give you a moment. I want to invite you to take that step because I so believe, man, if the Holy Spirit touches your life, if the Holy Spirit begins to move upon your life, everything can change in a moment. And I don't want fear to keep you from taking a step forward and saying, Holy Spirit, I surrender to whatever you want to do. So if that's you, can you just raise your hand? I just want to see if that's anybody. Come on, I see your hand. Can you just come forward? If you're someone's next to you and they're raising their hand, I just want to encourage you to bring them down. Just let your neighbor, someone around you or our staff, just come forward. If we can get some of our staff to come pray for those that are coming, I just believe there's a real special touch from God over their life tonight. If you guys want to come forward here in the middle, we're going to go into worship. We may ebb and flow some more into ministry. I'm going to pray for us, and the band's going to lead us in. Father, we love you tonight. Holy Spirit, we're asking for the rain of your presence. Come, Holy Spirit, sweep through the room. Touch hearts tonight.
Thanks for listening to a Circle Rider podcast. For our full library of podcasts and more information about the Circuit Riders, visit us at circuitriders.com. To access worship, messages, and training courses, visit us at circuitriders.tv. To get involved with the day-to-day of what we do or see what's happening across the globe, you can follow us at Circuit Riders on Instagram. And finally, don't forget to leave a review on Apple Podcasts. We'll see you next time.